None of you have fallen asleep yet. Got your tummies full. And
excellent. Thank you.
And I think we got everything covered there. So we're going to have our Bible study in Joel 2. And I think the chili was a hit.
Yes.
It was
delicious. Woo!
Apologies to the live streamers. You can't taste the chili digitally, but take our word for it.
It was decent.
I thought it was halfway decent.
More or less.
Joel 2, verse 18. That was a terrible high five. Please do that again. There, that's a little better.
She's not left-handed. Come on, right hand.
There you go.
Are you happy?
I am.
Good.
That's what it's all about. Make me happy.
Yeah, if you have. Yeah.
Joel 2, verse 18, if you got your Bible up.
Charlie.
Silence yourself, huh? I would hurt myself. Noah could probably pull it off.
Noah, want to try for us?
All right, our current events update to begin with. Georgia, Georgia should be on our minds and in our prayers. The two Democrats running in Georgia stand for the satanic agenda of murdering unborn children, gun confiscation, and all things Marxist socialist. And we're concerned with this. I tell people I am not partisan. I do not endorse the Republican Party, but I certainly cannot endorse the Democrat Party. This has nothing to do with partisan politics. It has to do with survival.
Amen.
And the fellas running down there named John Ossoff. I hope to never have to learn his name.
Amen.
And Raphael Warnock, it's actually the black guy's Warnock and the white guy is Ossoff. And according to some of the polls, they're leading.
Yeah. Well,
so, and if it's a scientific poll, then they are also taking into consideration the fact that Democrats cheat.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's why they're leading in the polls. But just something to pray about. And if you know anybody in Georgia registered to vote, urge them to do so. On the other hand, Loeffler and Perdue are the two running against them, and they profess an allegiance to what the Republican agenda, the platform of the party is. And what I'm concerned with is that it's the constitutional agenda. Republicans are not always constitutional, but in this case, they are both stand for the right to life. They are opposed to murdering unborn children. They stand for the Bill of Rights and are not a part of this woke, cancel culture, political correctness and all that. And they are set to end endless wars, or at least they would like to see that Trump policy continue. So that's why we are praying for them. If I could vote down there, I would. But a lot of Christians don't take this seriously, and they don't until it comes to their front door. And that's the way it happened in Russia. That's the way it happened in Nazi Germany. That's the way it's happened in England. There are a lot of Christians in England that sat back and watched their country handed over to the socialists. Canada, same thing. And but there were a lot of people who fought to stand for what's right, but if you're outnumbered, you're outnumbered. That's why I want to say this. We are not in a democracy. You need to understand that. All the idiots on your idiot box on the news channels constantly talk about our democracy. And they say that challenging this election is detrimental to our democracy. Well, first of all, we're not a democracy. We have what's called democratic elections. But what hurts our democracy is cheating, stealing elections. That's what hurts. And we have democratic elections, but we are not a democracy. And a simple way of understanding what a democracy is, it's a majority rules. And so if you have five wolves and four lamb, guess what's for dinner?
A lamb.
And so our founding fathers hated democracy. You need to understand that. Go read their writings. They hated democracy. Amen. So every time you hear these communists in the Democrat Party and these communists on your news channels pushing democracy, you need to understand they're not stupid. I mean, some of them are, but a lot of them are smart crooks. And they hope you buy into democracy because that's how Venezuela turned into what it is. That's how Fidel Castro took over in Cuba. That's how the Chinese communists took over. They talked about the People's Republic. And if it happens here in America, it's the end of everything.
Yeah.
So pray for Loeffler and Purdue. And also pray that 2021 is not another 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
In so, a good way. Not like
what other way would there be?
There could be worse.
Well, yes, I guess.
We don't want 2021.
I'd say people for years to come, when something's bad, they're going to call it a 2020.
Unless 2021's worse, then they'll say, is it 2021?
Yeah. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Killing babies is a reproach.
Very bad.
Sodomite marriage is a reproach.
Yes.
Gun confiscation is a reproach. Jesus commanded us to own weapons. It's in your Bible.
It is there. Yes, it is.
Marxism itself. Go read about, by the way, I found a PDF download of Wormbrandt from Voice of the Martyrs wrote a book called Marx and Satan.
Yeah, excellent.
And they can't really find it in print, but I found a PDF.
Yes.
And I also found out that Microsoft done something right for a change. On their Microsoft Edge, they have a reader. And so you can actually, and it's good. It's very, it doesn't sound like, I played it for Jenny. It doesn't sound like a, it sounds like a human being reading. It's that good. So you can use Microsoft Edge. It comes on almost all your PCs, Windows. And download the PC. Just do a search for Marx and Satan, and download the PD and let the Microsoft Edge read it to you. It's a real eye opener.
Amen.
But that's where we stand, folks. I really believe that, like no other time, we are standing. You know, when Obama was elected, I, you know, he's a Marxist, and wasn't happy about that. But I tried to encourage everybody. But I also only I will only encourage you with truth.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect me to get up here and just lie to you.
Thank you, Lord.
I've said a lot of Christians, they ought to add a song to their praise book. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. What was that? Who was that?
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks, yeah. A witch. But anyway, that's what people want to be lied to. And I'll encourage you in the Lord. I can do that anytime. You know, we could be in prison, and I can encourage you in the Lord.
Amen.
But when it comes to this country, it was a whole lot easier to encourage Christians under Obama's situation, his administration, than it will be if Biden is installed and they're successful in taking these Georgia Senate seats. The Marxists will control the White House, the Senate, the House of Representatives, and it looks like there's some closet Marxists like John Roberts in the Supreme Court. And John Roberts isn't the first time that Republican conservative presidents put a person on the Supreme Court and turned out that they, you know, first of all, Eisenhower regretted his picks, and that was, Amen. They were the ones that legalized abortion.
Yeah.
Republican Eisenhower and Nixon put Supreme Court justices on that legalized abortion.
Yep.
Then you fast forward to Ronald Reagan, and we got Sandra Day O'Connor. And then who was the fellow, George H.W. Bush gave us Breyer. Is it Breyer?
Yeah.
And it's just a bad history. Trump's three picks so far, although there's been, I think, one case Gorsuch, one case Kavanaugh. But so far, those three have been about 99% conservative and constitutional in their decisions. So Franklin Graham, I showed it Sunday, said, I thank God for the last 4 years under Donald Trump. And I say that with all sincerity. Cannot imagine if Hillary Clinton had put three Supreme Court justices,
yep,
this country would be done.
Yep.
One last thing before we move on. We've set a goal for $140 so that we could take our total of Bible donations to Bibles for South America. We wanted to hit 1,300. We went a little over that. $750. And not going to name names. Your reward is with the Lord, and I don't want to rob you of that. But I just want to thank everybody who contributed small or large gifts to that. Together, it makes a really nice big one.
Amen.
So now, if you give anything tonight, I'll add it to it, and we're sending it out tomorrow.
Amen.
They're going to get a New Year's Eve gift from Bible Believers Fellowship.
So where are we at exactly now?
I didn't do the math. I'm going to do that once we know exactly how many.
Sunday
I'll give you the total.
Is it over 2,000?
Oh, I don't even know that. I haven't even sat down and tried to figure it out.
If you look at that, it looks like we need 5 to get 2,000.
Well, we might get it. And that goes onliners. I should have told the onliners. There's several people there that always get on board these things. And I apologize. But it's not too late. If you go to our website, donate using the PayPal donation button, and just send me an email, or if you can find the notes to seller and tell us that you want that money to go to the Bibles, we'll add it to it. If you write a check, it probably won't get here till sometime in 2021, and we'll have to send it at another time, which we still will. But if you want to be a part of this, you can do that. BBFOhio.com. Huh? Yeah, and if you can't find the ad, so just send me an email and let me know you gave a certain amount. So, all right, so thank you very much on behalf of all those folks down there who are going to get a Bible and they've never owned one before. That's great. So let's open with a word of prayer. Ask Brother Jim if you'd open Bible study.
Lord, Father, we just ask your blessing over the service tonight. Thank you for what the pastor's prepared for us, Lord. Lord, we just pray you'll touch every heart here and every life, Lord. It's been a tough year, Lord, but we're still hopeful because our hope is in you. It's not in our government. It's not even in each other, Lord.
That's right.
It's not in the things around us.
Yes.
It's in our Heavenly Father. It's
Amen.
In our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, that you love us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us, Lord. And we can continually have hope in you till our last breath.
Yes.
We just thank you for this. In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. So our study tonight in Joel 2 covers verses 18 through 21. Excuse me. Jealous for his land. And if you're there, we're going to read those three verses. So if you're there, read with me. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So God is jealous over one particular piece of land, one piece of real estate on planet Earth. He says right there in verse 18, then will the Lord be jealous for his land, but he is jealous for that land. We're going to see in just a moment. But what this is saying is that there's coming a time when his jealousy for that land is going to reveal itself. It's going to be seen and felt by the entire planet. Right now, God's just, you remember back in Acts 17, 31, he said, I think it's 17:30, that the ignorance of this time God has winked at, but now calls all men to repentance. Well, that's true about the land of Israel up to now and up until the time that we're going to see the second coming. We're going to see the promises for that land given to Israel fulfilled in the return of Jesus Christ. And that's going to, we're going to see that really in depth in the next chapter of Joel, by the way. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land, and that's the land of Israel. And some people say, well, that doesn't make sense. Why would God make a big deal about land? And, you know, unbelievers especially, but a lot of Christians have that attitude. And, you know, they don't read their Bible. If you want to know why God, what God makes a big deal about and why, you have to ask God. And God has explained it in his word. So a little reality check as we kick this thing off. God has his reasons for being jealous for this land, whether they make sense. Let me say it like street language. Whether they make sense to us is beside the point. If it don't make sense to you, get over it. Amen? Typos are hilarious. Scripture with scripture. Let's look at a few verses in the actual words of God about what God has to say about this. Go over to Leviticus 25, verse 23. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 25, and verse 23. And you ought to write these down or make note of them and go home and read the whole chapter. Check out your preacher, make sure he's keeping things in context. But I assure you that that is my intent here. I'm keeping things in context. And we don't have time to read whole chapters and get very far into our study. So we'll look, zero in right here on verse 23. Read that with me. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. Now, God meant what he said. The Jews were not to sell that land ever. You see that? Amen. The word is four letters, ever. And I'm just going to tell like it is. I've said this a couple times in the last few weeks that if Donald Trump is removed as president, a lot of people are saying, well, why doesn't God step up and do something, this and that, this and that? Well, one reason is because Donald Trump didn't listen.
That's right.
Christian leaders told him, mess with the land of Israel, it'll all crumble just like it did for George H.W. Bush. He was not, he did not lose because, read my lips, no new taxes. And he did lie to you and he raised your taxes, but that's not why he lost. And he lost because he was messing with Israel. And he was pushing the United Nations New World Order. And you know how many times, I can't tell you, over the last 4 or 5 years, people are criticizing Donald Trump and everything, and over stupid stuff. And then a lot of Christians are, wow, he says mean things and he's been divorced and all this stuff. I'm like, that has nothing to do with anything. But let me tell you something. Some of them I knew. I said, you voted for George H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
Well, his family has raised millions of dollars to kill babies. And George H.W. Bush preached the Antichrist.
Yeah.
World order.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of those people thought I was making it up. And I was, there's a few times I pulled it out of my phone, showed them the video. It's out there on YouTube.
Yep.
He was preaching a one world government.
Yep.
That's why Billy Clinton beat him.
Yep.
Didn't have anything to do with that other stuff, taxes. So, what I was getting at, though, I have to finish what I was saying about Donald Trump. Donald Trump's peace plan with all these Muslim countries has been giving away land for peace. Giving away land for peace in Joel 3, we're going to see, will be the final straw when God comes down and puts it to them. This is repeated throughout the centuries in Old Testament history, by the way. Look at Genesis 12:7. Genesis 12:7. This is where the original land covenant, the Palestinian covenant, is what some of the theologians call it, giving land to Abraham. Here it's before he's even had his name extended. It's Abram. Genesis 12:7. All right, if you're there, read that. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And now you have these bozos like Steven Anderson, his little cult, and these other preachers on YouTube and all these nuts. And they'll run around telling everybody, that promise was just Abraham. Now, I have not talked to Steven Anderson personally, but his followers have emailed me and contacted me, and that's what they say. So I assume that he's teaching that, but if not, he needs to teach better because that's what his people think he's teaching. And he's put out Marching to Zion. He put out a whole video attacking Israel and denouncing Israel and saying they don't have a right to the land and that the Jews in Israel today are a fraud. It says right there that God is talking to Abram and he's telling him, unto thy seed will I give the land. Not just to Abraham, which he does say that too, but he says right there, it's unto his seed. And we know Abram became Abraham. Sarah wasn't having babies quick enough. I mean, she was only 90, you know? So Abraham's like, Sarah says, we better take matters in our own hands, literally. And he takes Hagar, and she has a baby, and his name was Ishmael. That wasn't the seed.
No.
Isaac was the seed, amen?
Amen?
And it was repeated to Isaac, and it was repeated to his son Jacob, and not Esau. And then the promise was then delivered to Jacob's 12 sons. Look over at Genesis 35. Go to chapter 35 and verse 10. He says in verse 10, while you're turning there, and God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. So there's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name what?
Israel.
Israel. Amen. He says, verse 11, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty. You know, when God says that, he's basically telling you to, if you got another opinion, shut it up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about your opinion. I am God Almighty.
Amen.
Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And of course, we have the books of 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles telling us all about how that was fulfilled. Read verse 12 with me. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. Amen? I mean, can you have any doubt? I mean, of course, there are skeptics out there that don't believe the Bible and all that. Well, they'll deal with God one day about that. But if you call yourself a Bible believer, you cannot have a problem with Israel having that land. It says right there, he gave it to Abraham and Isaac, and he says, and I'll give it to Jacob, who he's now calling Israel. And to who? Thy seed after thee will I give the land. Who's this? His seed? Israel. The man Israel became the namesake of the nation. And so that land belongs to Israel. Now look over what it says in Numbers. A couple more books over. Numbers 27. Numbers 27. And we're going to see this fellow named Moses. And some Christians are only familiar with him because of the movies. And then some people think he built an ark. You know he did? He did, but it was an ark of the covenant. And Noah, who's here with us tonight, built the ark that survived the flood.
Whoa.
Well, not that Noah, but you know what I mean. I love that name. Yeah, and Moses himself, yeah, was put into an ark of bulrushes. Yeah. So look what it says now to Moses, one of those sons of Levi, who Levi was a son of Jacob, who is now known as Israel. And what's it say? Read 12 with me. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this Mount Abiram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. Who do you give it to?
Children of Israel.
And who's he saying it to?
Moses.
So it's pretty well laid out there. It also then extends to Joshua. Go over to the book of Joshua, the first two verses of chapter 1. Moses dies. Joshua becomes the king without being called a king. But it's interesting because Moses is referred to as a king. Did you know that? And then Joshua replaced him, but he wasn't an official king as in a kingdom at that point. He's more like a regent king, like Belshazzar was in the book of Daniel over Babylon. But verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, now stop there, that's the only Nun in the Bible right there. Nuns are not biblical.
Amen.
And this is a dude.
Yep.
But Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying what? Verse 2, read it with me. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. He's talking to Joshua, but who's he saying that land belongs to?
The children of Israel.
Amen. And then it was repeated years later. Go over to 1 Kings 8. Now, some of you are saying, you know, this is redundant. I'm telling you, you ought to write these down and have them handy so you can show there's a lot of people out there that call themselves Christian or not who act like they think that it was just a promise to Abraham. And it isn't really to all the children of Israel. And the Bible is clear on it if you know where to look. And 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22 says, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. He's dedicating the temple, spreading forth his hands in prayer. Now jump down to verse 36. And this is, we don't have time to read the whole chapter, so we're going to jump down to where he's talking about our subject at hand. Verse 36, read that. Then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. And that's something, it still says it's God's land. But God has given that land to Israel. There's examples of this. How many of you ever? I haven't listened to him for a long time, but I know a couple of you listened to Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Talent on loan from
God.
And I just have always liked that. He's a little, he comes off a little arrogant sometimes the way he says it and everything. But that's the truth. Whatever talent you have, whatever intelligence you have, whatever gifts you have, whatever abilities you have, all on loan from God. And we talked about that Sunday, that your body, soul, and spirit's the only thing that really belongs to you. And even that's a gift. God gave it to you. But here we have the land is God's land. When Solomon says, thy land, he's talking to God, given to thy people for an inheritance. This is the last king before the kingdom splits. So you're taking it right up to, I think this is in the 600s B.C. And God's still telling them, this is your land. This is your land. And God says this land will eventually belong to Israel permanently.
Amen.
So anybody who thinks there's ever coming a day, some people teach it's already happened, that Israel's lost the land. God's word says that at some point, He's going to put Israel in that land and they'll never be removed. Well, that couldn't have been here because they were removed by Babylon. Then they came back when Jesus came the first time. We celebrate Christmas and the birth of Christ. He came back at a time when the Jews were back in the land. Didn't have a king, but they were in the land. And what happened? They reject their Messiah, 70 AD, out. Then they were basically told they need to go back home. And they wouldn't. And I'm telling you, I believe that's why God allowed Hitler. It's because of Hitler's attempt at the final solution to wipe the Jews out that they started going home in droves. And Jeremiah talks about that. Said, if you won't go home when you're supposed to, then he said, I will have you hunted like animals, like dogs. And driven back. That's what's happened.
Lord have mercy.
That's why when idiots like our Secretary of State under Bill Clinton, Madeleine Albright, says, I believe the Jews should all go home, back to Germany and Poland.
What?
That's what she said. You're like, so they can be persecuted again? So they can be drove out of the countries again? Because that's what will happen. That's happening here in America right now. The only reason the Jews aren't being rounded up the way they did in those countries is because of our Constitution and our legal system. Because there are millions of Americans today who would love to round all those Jews up. That's the reason that happened. And there's coming a day where they will all go home and they will stay there permanently. Look what Amos says. And there's so many references we could run, but I'm just giving you the gist of it tonight. Amos 14 and 15. And there's people who read this and they'll say, all this was talking about bringing them back for when Jesus came. But remember, again, they didn't have a king when Jesus came. And when the Old Testament talks about bringing Israel back again and then them being in the land, two things. They'll have a king and they'll never be removed again. Hasn't happened. They haven't come back and had a king. They rejected their king. Of the lineage of David, Jesus was the DNA genetic son of David through Mary and her genes, through Nathan, David's son. And he had a claim to the throne through David and Solomon and Joseph as his adopted father. Had it all covered, and Israel rejects him. Look at verse 14. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Well, that's what they're doing now. But I got to interject this. As you get into the New Testament, we're given more revelation. And you go to Revelation 12, you'll see that they're going to be in the land like they are now. The Bible predicted that 2,000 years ago in the book of Revelation, 1,900 years ago. They're there, but Revelation 12 says they're going to be run out again.
Yeah.
And then they'll be run out by the Antichrist, and Satan himself is the power behind it. We believe they're going to go to Petra, the rock city. And then when Jesus returns, he lands on the Mount of Olives, they all go running back to home. That is when they'll never leave again.
That's
When Jesus lands on the Mount of Olives and they go back that time, they'll never leave again. And that's what verse 15 says. Read it with me. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Has never happened. Every preacher that says otherwise is a liar. He's a wolf. And the majority of preachers in America will tell you that this is not future. They're liars. And this has not happened because when it happens, the Jews will never be pulled out again.
Right.
So when they say the Jews over there today are imposters and all that kind of stuff, you're listening to a man full of the spirit of Lucifer. Yep. Jesus said, Satan is the father of lies. Mm-hmm. And that's a whopper. You talk about a lie. Completely in contradiction to God's word over and over and over. One of the biggest whopper lies you could ever tell. And the majority of pastors and preachers in the United States of America, Europe, and around the world will lie to you about that. God watches over his land jealously. Now, you have to understand something. Do you know that being jealous is not a sin? You've been lied to about that probably too, because I was.
Yeah.
I was lied to by preachers. Some of them didn't know any better. They were ignorant. Jealousy is not a sin, or God's a sinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I'm jealous for my wife.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I trust her, so every time she talks to a man, I don't get up, you know, and, what are you doing talking to that man? You know, that's the kind of jealousy that is sin, because when you're not trusting your wife and she hasn't given you any reason not to trust her, you're the problem.
Amen.
And I'll let you on a secret. Most of the time, people who act like that, they should not be trusted.
Yeah.
They're thinking of you doing what they're doing in secret.
It's true.
Yeah.
Amen.
And boy, I could tell some stories about that myself, but I trust this lady.
Amen.
But, you know, Satan will always be right there to try to whisper in your ear about whether it's your wife or a business partner or whatever. You got to be careful with that stuff, because you should only be jealous in a godly manner.
Amen.
And for example, be jealous over your wife, not somebody else's wife.
Right.
A lot of murders have happened.
Amen.
Because men get jealous for somebody else's wife.
Yep.
And then there's other times where they're not even married, and the jealousy will drive them to at least assault, if not murder. That kind of things happen. So you have to be... Anger is another one I want to bring in there. There's nothing sinful about being angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not.
Amen.
And we should... God is angry with the wicked every day.
Yeah.
I get angry with the wicked. But the difference is, God is holy and he has every right. If he wanted to, he could smash me like a bug.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not holy. I have no right to that. And I could even pray, Lord, smash him like a bug. You know what God will say? Find something else to do. Not that he never does that.
Right.
But that's up to him. He's the holy, just, and righteous God. Leave it in his hand. But he's jealous over his land, and it's not a sin. That land belongs to him. And what he's jealous over is he's told the Jews, don't give up your land. Fight for your land. If you stand for your land, I'll be with you.
Amen.
In Deuteronomy 11:12, this is an amazing passage. God describes this land. God is describing this land. He says, it's a land which the Lord thy God careth for. And he has told Moses this. And Moses is letting the people know, this land God cares for. And by the way, he didn't have to give it to the Jews, the Hebrews. And he tells them that. He reminds them, I didn't give this because you're so wonderful. Listen, you know there's only one reason God gave this land to Israel? Do you know why? Because he promised Abraham. That's the only reason. He promised Abraham, I'm going to give you this land and to your seed after you through Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob's sons.
He keeps his word.
And he can't do otherwise but keep his word. That's why. And yeah, there's been some really nasty, ugly, disgusting Jews on this planet, just like the Gentiles. And God, you know, like Judas. Judas was a Jew, went to hell. Any Jew that rejects Jesus Christ will go to hell. George Soros.
Yeah.
George Soros. Boy, we could name him. The Rothschild family. I mean, how many of them were ever saved, do you know of? You know? On and on. Look at all the actors and actresses, some of the most blasphemous people on the planet, and Jews. You want? It's no wrong. I tell people, I do not wonder that especially unsaved people get on this. The Jews control the banks, and the Jews control Hollywood, and the Jews, protocols of Zion, and all that stuff. I'm not surprised by that. I'm only surprised when someone who claims to be a child of God does that, because they should know better.
Amen.
Leave that up to God. God's going to judge the Jews.
Yep.
And if it makes you feel any better, the truth is that they got some really dark days ahead of them.
Yeah.
They don't really need you and I to judge them. And in the tribulation, that 70th week of Daniel, 2 out of 3 are going to die.
Yep. Right.
And those that remain are going to run into Petra to try to survive. And it's just going to be a terrible time. Well, it's all about that land which the Lord thy God promised Abraham, and he can't break his promise. And he says, for the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. Mm-hmm. Think of that. And think about what he must think about the Muslims up there on the Temple Mount.
Oh,
and all the facts, I'm sorry, sodomites in Tel Aviv. All that faggotry going on. In the Jerusalem, they had a pride parade. Proud of their wickedness. Right there in Jerusalem and Israel. God is going to kill them all. They better repent. For the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. You say, well, I thought God saw everything, knows everything. That's the point. Is he's trying to tell you this is something a little special. He is omnipresent. He knows all, sees all, but there's something about that land where he's got a bit of a focus there.
Yeah, watch
it. Watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me provide some food for thought. You say, well, you know, that just still seems to... If you come to the Miller house, Miller Acre as we like to call it, we have one room big enough to put people in. And we have about, I think we have a total of 9 adults can sit in the couches and chairs. And then the way I was raised, if you have kids, they can either go play or sit on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And so there's all these, but there's one particular chair. As I'm showing you there. That's it. Now, over the years, it's been a different chair. But wherever chair is in that place, no one is to sit on that chair except for me.
Okay, Archie.
It's just like Archie Bunker, yeah. You come over to our house, you'll see that. And that's the only body in that chair. Jenny doesn't even sit in it.
I don't sit in that chair.
Only me.
She
knows. Well, I correct myself. Cammie sits there too. She kind of runs the house. So Cammie, and sometimes she wants me out. All right, time to get up.
I thought that was a
You may think that's awful stingy. That's awful. You know, if someone comes to you at your house, if that's a good chair, you should offer that chair. Well, let me ask you, do I have a reason for not sharing my chair? Do you think I might?
Sure. Maybe.
Well, it's mine. And the land belongs to God. But see, it's deeper than that. The reason I can't let anybody sit in that chair is because back when I used to allow people to sit in my chair, I would frequently find myself getting sick.
Oh.
Because I have a thing related to my COPD called chemical sensitivity. Yes, I'm sensitive. But petroleum-based ingredients in hair products and perfumes and colognes, even detergents and what they call that, fabric softeners, you name it. And somebody come over and pop in my chair, and not just like, oh, you know, I'd be gracious about it and sit over in Jenny's chair. And then they would, but then they would leave, and I'd go over and sit down, and I'd be like, see, I can't smell it. She's like the canary who will go in, and she can actually, and I just start getting sick. I get a headache. I start feeling, I say, Jenny, I'm sick. And then she'd go. And then she'd say, there's something on your chair. How many times did that happen? And so finally, we're like, told everybody, just don't sit on Greg's chair, and we'd explain it, you know. But see, I had my reasons. You come over to my house, and you start, and we're like, whoa, no, no, don't sit there. Don't, please, don't sit there.
Wow, talk about touchy.
You know? But see, I have a reason. Well, that's the same thing about that land. God's got his reason. Oh, I thought I'd throw that in there. Campaign for Safe Cosmetics. There's actually a movement to get petroleum-based stuff out of it. They also put formaldehyde, yeah. Ooh. Titanium dioxide and heavy metals.
Except for dead bodies?
They actually used aborted cells at one time, and they claim they don't do that anymore. So that's just an FYI. But back to the text. God has his reasons for being jealous for his land. Now, look back in Joel. In that same verse, and many, many times I've read that verse 18, and not really paid attention to the explanations right there. It says, then will the Lord be jealous for his land, and what?
Pity his people.
It's a very practical thing. You realize, like I said, every time the Jews have gone anywhere, they're hated. And yes, sometimes they bring it on themselves. But a lot of times it's jealousy for them because they are so good with money. The bankers. Jealousy, yeah. And they're good in business. And you can see that if you watch the movies like Schindler's List and those, you'll see what that kind of sets up. And Fiddler on the Roof. Got to watch that again. That's one of my favorites. You didn't know I like musicals. Told you I'm sensitive. But that's one of my favorite movies, Fiddler on the Roof. If you haven't watched that, you ought to. It's actually very historically accurate and educational and all that. But they were run out of town in that movie. And they were run out of town in Poland and run out of town in Germany. Even after World War II was over. Did you know that? Over in Poland, they were murdering Jews after World War II. Russia, the Soviet Union. God says, you know, there's one place where you're going to feel welcome and one place you're going to be welcome, and it is in that land. Yeah. And until that happens, so there you have it. That's God's purpose. He tells you. And we'll see God's final response to land grabbers when we get into Joel 3. So let's close out. Let's look at verses 19 and 20 as we read. And once God then gives the land in a permanent sense, after Revelation 12, yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathens. There's still a reproach now.
Yeah.
But there's coming a day where they're going to be the cool kids. Bible says people grab a hold of a Jew. Remember that? We read that this week. And want to be with them. Like Ruth with Naomi. Verse 20 then says, but I will remove far off from you the northern army. That's going to happen during the tribulation. And will drive him into a land barren and desolate with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part, his rear end, toward the utmost sea. God's going to hand him their rear ends. That's what it says. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things, not great in a good way, just great, like someone says it's a great tragedy and great wickedness, you know, that kind of thing. So let's close there with this comment, all future promises that have not yet happened, those what we just read. Now verse 21, read that. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. So the northern army is wicked and does great things in a bad sense. God's going to do great things, which will include really bad things for the Antichrist and his armies and all the world who turns against the Jews. So we'll close with this. Believers believe God's promises and plan accordingly.
Amen.
The lost do not and suffer accordingly. Amen?
Amen.
Speaking of accordions, you see what I did there. Johnny, come on up. And you all got your little horns there? Okay, while Johnny's coming up, we're going to close with our annual BBF version of the countdown that you live streamers can hear it on there. And, well, you can count down with us. Our New Year's Eve countdown. Ready? 10. Happy New Year Friday! See? Happy New Year Friday. Get ready! Mine doesn't make any noise. Oh, it does! All right. If you look up at the screen, we've got the lyrics. You don't need your hymn book up there. But Johnny's going to play Auld Lang Syne.
Thank you.
But we're going to sing the hymnal version, the lyrics. It's A New Day is Dawning. Give a second here. There you go. Another year is dawning is how it goes. So turn that microphone if you would. I don't think that's on. I want to be able to. I don't want it to be silent like that. Yeah, go ahead.
Start with
an intro. Yeah. Ready? Another year is dawning, dear Father. Stand on this last one. Another year of service, of witness for thy love. Another year of training for holier work above. Dear Father, let it be on earth or else in heaven. Another year for thee. Happy New Year Friday. All right, tell her online we'll see you here, there, or in the air. God bless you all. Amen. All right, get your prayer cards up front if you got them.